Double haploids, I mean, they make my job a lot easier, to be honest with you. So doubled haploids come out, you know, so corn, you know, corn's crossbred crop, right? But doubled haploids are inbreds. They show up as completely inbred. And so the nice thing about inbred lines is they show you all they got. I mean, really, they're inbred. And so when you look at them, they are what they are. They're not going to change, which is nice. You know, the filial way of breeding, the conventional filial, some people call different things, but the old way of breeding, things would change. As you inbred a line, it would change. I mean, that's the genetics of it, right? You start to inbreed them more, it changes. With dihaploids, I mean, they don't change. You see them, and that's what they are. The only thing that changes is how they might interact with an environment or a year. You know, and the nice thing about the other beauty of double haploids is, since they're inbred, you know, the marker technologies work better. Because they're not changing. So the predicted values I get this year, if I use the same data, will be the same next year because the dihaploid itself did not change. You know, so we're able to deal with these things as very finite units. And when I talk about, you know, just throwing away the bad and the good, we can sort through them with much more confidence with dihaploids versus what I would call the old method. You could do some sorting, but there was still this, you know, these big standard deviation bars or standard error bars about where they might end up. You know, it might be plus or minus, if you just use yield, it might be plus or minus, you know, 25 bushels. Mm-hmm. You know, with dihaploids, it might be plus or minus 5. You know, so that's the kind of the magnitude we're dealing with in terms of accuracy. And for me, it's all about accuracy of selection.